what Brooklyn sounds like.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Dave and Giggles, featuring neither Dave nor Giggles. They're both off daving and giggling somewhere else. I hear Dave's out there hanging out with the Maine lobsters or something. God only knows where Giggles is. No one ever knows. Who knows where Giggles is?
That might be me for now. I'll be Giggles for the next hour.
So we've got, who do we have with us here today?
I am Gianluca. I host on 6 p.m. Wednesday, Sitting with Gianluca, which is about interesting conversations with cool artists.
And I am DJ Defiance of Up Yours, Sundays at 8. And wait for it. We've got another special guest star of the Dave and Giggles show here. Coming in hot on mic two.
Fumbling in. I left my bag somewhere and I just fucking panicked. Sorry.
But you did find it.
I did.
Here on the Dave and Giggles show, we find things. We find you. We find souls. We find entertainment. We find what we've got. And who are you, my mysterious other guest?
Such a good question.
Really the question.
My name's Tom. Welcome, everybody. Can I get a little, I'm going to need a little more volume in my mic.
I turned it down a second ago.
In my headphones. Thank you. Uh-huh. No, that's good. All good. Yep. My name's Tom. Hi, everybody. What's up?
What's up?
I don't know what happened before I got here, so
we were introducing ourselves.
I'm Tom. I do radio for Brooklyn stuff.
I've heard that about him. We are here today because the three of us like to talk about music. I know that may shock you on this Radio Free Brooklyn, a music radio station, but in fact, we love to talk about music.
We're not a music radio station.
We're a radio station, and we play music as part of our many multifaceted identity.
Yes. Though music is sinful, have you not seen Footloose? Hello. Mm. Very sinful.
Kenny Loggins. Kenny Loggins is sinful. That's a different story.
Listening to Kenny Loggins is a sin.
That is a sin. The real sin of Footloose. It was Kenny Loggins the whole time.
I agree. Yes. All right.
So we thought we would play for you today some songs that we believe have cover versions that are better than the originals. Now, I had an identity crisis in doing this because what is better, really? There are a lot of songs covers that I think, for an example, are basically like they're either so different from the original that I don't think it really can be kind of considered the same song even, or they're both like incredible versions of the same song. Like I think that Jeff Buckley's Hallelujah is just as good as Leonard Cohen's.
Yes.
And I think, you know, so like I would love to honor those covers, but you know what? I'll do another cover show another time when I'm covering for someone. It's actually perfect.
Well, I went the extra mile on this and I had that definition, but then I added a layer onto that, which is that the cover version that is actually better and better known. So people might think that the cover version was actually the original when it wasn't.
Okay, yeah. I kind of did that anyway, so I feel
Well, should we mention for a second what we think a good cover is?
Yeah, what do we think is a good cover?
I know my criteria, but I should put that out to you two first.
Well, do you want me to answer? Okay.
Yeah.
No rules here. We're just,
hanging out.
By the seat of our pants here.
Yeah.
So I think a good cover is something that takes a good song, a well-written song, and the artist that's covering it makes it their own and brings out something in the song that you did not originally necessarily hear in the original.
Yes.
Yeah.
My criteria, I didn't actually pick, I wasn't thinking of songs that were better because better is very difficult in music, especially if it's a well-written song. But for me, a type of song of a certain stripe, let's say songwritery song, a narrative song, right? Mm-hmm. I think of as a 3-minute movie with a main character who would be the narrator and a cast of characters and a location and a pacing and a sort of beginning, middle and end and some sort of story. So for me, a good cover is by an artist that gets it, regardless of the genre, that understands that movie. And is able to, it's rather when you see a remake of a movie that's better than the original. It rarely happens, actually. It's more common in music than it is in movies. So that he understands the movie and can bring out the film, the movie, with a totally different angle.
I think you and I are saying the same things in different ways.
Yes.
I think I would say would be pretty much the same as you guys. Just to add one thing on, I don't think that every song is meant to be covered. I think there are certain songs, like, can you, I think it would be very hard to do like a really, really good cover of A Change Is Gonna Come, for an example.
Right. Ooh. Well, I do covers on my show. And
what is that show?
It's called Frequency Theory, every Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. And I have a segment every week called Discover This Cover. And I generally don't go for covers that are really super faithful to the original. You know, I like something that sort of diverges off into another direction. But that said, there are certain covers that stay faithful that I also still really love. And I mean, I think as an example, like Shonen Knife's
cover.
I was thinking of the Ramones covers, but you know what I mean? Which are basically just, they're pretty faithful to the originals, but they just sound completely different when done by Japanese women, you know? So I think that sometimes faithful to the original is okay, but I prefer, especially when I play on my show, something that takes it and reinterprets it.
Yeah.
And with that, why don't we start with our first cover of the night, which was picked out by our own illustrious Tom, which will be, well, first we're going to start off playing the originals and we'll tell you a little bit about why we picked the song.
Are we playing the whole original?
We'll play excerpts because, I mean, one I picked is 5 minutes, so that would be a large portion of the show right there.
Okay.
All right. And now you've seen into the artist's process. You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. This is Dave and Giggles. They'll be back daving and giggling next week. Here's Otis Redding doing Respect. That's not what they sound
Giggles.
Like.
I'm Giggles.
Giggles gonna be real bad at that one. Hello. We even have another special guest today, I hear. Who could it be? We're on the air, so let's talk. So that was Otis Redding doing Respect. Did you know that Otis Redding was the first person to record Respect? He was.
Yes.
All right. Why did you pick this song, and what are your thoughts on it?
I picked this song because I was thinking more along the lines of kind of covers that most people associate with the cover artist than they do with the original artist. And definitely more people associate that song with Aretha. And that clearly when she died, like that was one of the big songs you heard just in every coffee shop. But also, you know, the lyric, just from having a man sing it to having a woman sing it changes the fucking meaning of that song. Yep. 180 degrees,
yep.
You know? So
Agreed. It's funny because she sings it and it's like, I'm a woman. But when he sings it, this is what I love about Otis Redding, because he was very big and like very, very masculine. But when he sings, especially Respect, he's talking about sort of a vulnerability. There's a
really totally. I mean, I'm not saying he was like being a fucking respect me bitch.
Exactly. But she is. She's right. Doing respect but, me, guys.
Yes.
I'm sassy.
Right. Exactly. And, so she's the one who's applying that kind of meaning to it.
And I guess thinking a lot about when the song was originally recorded, because I was thinking in my head, like maybe it's, you know, about who deserves respect. I was thinking like, if Joni Mitchell did a cover of like Respect around that time, would it have worked? And in some ways, because Joni Mitchell was so disrespected by every man she encountered in the music industry, it kind of would have.
Oh,
in a very, very different way, obviously, than the kind of respect that Otis Redding or Aretha was looking for.
It's interesting to think of like different artists, like if the Misfits did Respect.
That would be hilarious. Oh my God.
Like it would have a whole new meaning.
I could totally see the Replacements doing that. If you listen to Look at My Records with Tom Gallo's Saturdays at 2, Tom has a bunch, and you can see this on Radio Free Brooklyn's website, he has all of these tapes and old recordings of concerts that he got from a colleague, and the Replacements have all these amazing covers that they do live, and it's like really a ridiculous variety of songs. I think they did And Then He Kissed Me once at one of the gigs. I was living. Yeah. It was like my idea of perfect.
I saw the Yehus. Do you know the Yehus is Dan Baird, who was the Georgia Satellites, and Roscoe Amble that used to play with Joan Jett at the very beginning and then later on with Steve Earle. And they were sort of a very heavy sort of Southern rock kind of type band. And they did a cover of ABBA's Dancing Queen that was quite interesting.
Oh,
They brought nothing new to it. But
you don't hear a lot of
cover.
ABBA covers.
No.
Yeah. Oh, although Cher's cover of Fernando is iconic and the only time I've ever liked ABBA. So there you go.
Oh.
Also, speaking of Joan Jett, did you know that I Love Rock and Roll is the cover? I mean,
yes.
I did.
One of my best friends dated the guy who wrote it.
That's wild. I love that.
Yeah.
Alan is going to be a guest that's sitting with Jan Luker at some point.
That's the guy.
Alan Merrill. Yes, I know Alan Merrill.
Yeah.
He's a fantastic.
Oh, dude, we have to talk. Because I have some stories.
Oh.
Hey, Calvin, do you want to introduce yourself? No dead air. You're on the administrative team. You can't have dead air up in the studio. How dare you?
Hi, I'm Calvin.
What show do you host? What time are you on?
I do some show. It's called Lush Vibes Radio or something like that. It's on late at night on Tuesdays.
And it's great. I write to it. I put it on and I write really great stuff to Lush Vibes Radio. So thank you, Calvin.
So, any parting words on Respect?
Are we playing the cover also or just the original?
We could play the cover. Why not?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, your show.
We didn't plan this 40 minutes ago. What do you want for
nothing? We didn't plan it 40 minutes ago. we planned it like 40 seconds ago.
Yeah, okay, here you go. Here's some Aretha Franklin. Everyone can just chill. We are real radio professionals. Here we are professionally radioing.
Absolutely.
Isn't that cool?
Calvin going like, why can't I hear anything with headphones that aren't attached to anything?
That's
Gianluca wants to know why he can't hear his own voice.
I hear other voices. I hear voices in my head, but that's a different thing, right?
It's just the normal one. It's nothing out of the ordinary.
Yes.
Here on Radio Free Brooklyn, we hear all sorts of voices. We can hear yours if you call in to 718-928-9732. You can tell us about your favorite covers.
Yeah.
We might even honor you by playing them.
Yeah.
You never know. We might not. This is a time show, folks, and I will kick these men out of here for my fempunk show. I will do it. I've done it before. All right. Your cover is up next. Talk to me about why you picked it, why you like it.
Oh, okay. So off Bruce Springsteen's Nebraska, there's a song called Atlantic City. And Atlantic City is kind of a typical Springsteen song about a guy who's down on his luck on the Atlantic City boardwalk trying to hustle up some money. And so it's really good, actually. However, the band did a wonderful version of it. And so they did an album in the late 90s called Jericho. And I've always maintained that the measure of a really good band is not how good they are when they're good. It's how good they are when they're past their prime and not on top, on fire like they used to be.
You're about to go to all those reunion tours coming around.
Just watch people and see what's going on. Exactly. So on the best, so in the late 90s, they did an album called Jericho, and the band didn't really have any songs. Robbie Robertson, who wrote the most well-known songs, so it's like classic band stuff, had left, and they weren't talking to him. Richard Manuel, one of the original founders and singers, had hung himself while on tour a few years beforehand. And then there's an album called Jericho, which was really not a particularly inspired album. It didn't have great songs on it. It wasn't that well produced. And the band were having some personal problems. They were getting on well, but they play marvelously on it. And so they take Springsteen's Atlantic City. And now Levon Helm, I have to go up to bat for 1 second for Levon Helm. I've always maintained he's one of the great singers of all
time. He's a really nice guy also.
Later in life he became,
I've had friends who worked with him in a professional context and said he was, could not have been more supportive of their art. I'm putting that out there.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. I was in a recording studio for 10 days with him and he's awesome. He's really wonderful and super professional. I stood next to his
drum kit. Doesn't he do like open jam sessions at the barn or whatever.
I went to a couple of those. He really had it. He was a straight up musician. He'd been playing music. He comes from Chicken Scratch, Arkansas. Turkey Scratch.
Also, as we talk, I'm going to play a little bit of the original.
Put that on and I'll say why I think Levon is a great thing. Okay, yeah, this is Springsteen doing it.
That's Springsteen, yeah.
Yes, that is the original. That's why I said I'm going to play the original. Thanks, man.
Well, I'm just saying, ditto. There's an echo somewhere. So Levon, his singing, when he says, you know, so he has a voice like a frog and no rage. But when he sings something, you believe it. So like when he sang The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down, he's in his 20s and he's a bare knuckle hippie. And he's telling you, he's singing to you, he's telling you that he was alive during the Civil War and you believe him. You don't even question
it. Right.
So he takes Springsteen and he sings the main character. And you have then Rick Danko and they do the harmony. And this is a band that's well washed up at this point. Mm-hmm. And it's just binding.
What year is this?
It would have been late 90s. I'm going to say 98, but I might be off by a year. They got back together and they had sort of personal problems, let's say. They had certain personal problems that many rock stars have had. Mm-hmm. And they sort of were kind of getting on, but just uninspired. Right. It's not a good album. It's not a good production. But just the way they've taken this song. Do we have it? The way they sing this song, you forget that it's even, that Springsteen ever sang it to begin with. And there's nothing wrong, as you can hear, with Springsteen.
So let's give our listeners a few seconds of Springsteen and we'll transition to the band. You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. This is Dave and Giggles. Stay tuned.
Well, they blew up the Chicken Man in Philly last night, and they blew up his house too. Down on the boardwalk, they're ready for a fight. Gonna see what them racket boys can do. Now there's trouble bussin' in from out of state, and the DA can't get no relief. Gonna be a rumble on the promenade, and the gambling commissioner's hanging on by the skin of his teeth. Everything dies, baby, that's a fact. But maybe everything that dies someday comes back. Put your makeup on, fix your hair up pretty, and meet me tonight in Atlantic City. Job and I put my money away, but I got the kind of debt that no honest man can pay. So I threw out what I had from the Central Trust, and I bought us two tickets on that Coast City bus. Everything dies, baby, that's a fact. But maybe everything that dies someday comes back. Put your makeup on, fix your hair up pretty, and meet me tonight in Atlantic City. Now our luck may have died and our love may be cold, but with you forever I'll stay.
So what did we observe about that cover that we liked, disliked, thought was different than the original? I mean, it's, you know, it's interesting because Nebraska, I always think of as such a bare bones album because that's the way it really was presented at the time, or the way it was presented to me by my dad. Thank you, Dad. But that, I mean, the Nebraska version to me felt very overproduced, and that one, the band one, felt perfect. It felt like just the right amount of instrumentation, just the right way to tell that story.
Yeah.
The thing I didn't like about the cover is that, I mean, we were talking about Levon Helm's voice earlier. He seems more like he's shouting it, and whereas Springsteen sounds more like he's kind of whispering it.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, yeah. Well, it's a terribly produced record. Yeah. I mean, the record is really...
Right. So I felt like the Springsteen version has a little bit more intimacy to it than the Levon Helm version, but, you know. Good cover, though.
Do you believe Springsteen when he sings?
A lot of times I do, and especially like in the early Springsteen, I do really believe him.
All right.
I recently, just 2 weeks ago, I played Springsteen's cover of The Clash's Clampdown on my show.
Oh, I love that cover.
That I would get into.
And that is like, I totally believe him.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Because
it's like, first of all, that you would decide to cover that song at all.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Makes me think that you're totally down with what that song is saying. Right.
Yes.
So I totally believe him, you know, in that. And a lot of stuff I do. A lot of stuff, you know, especially when it comes to the, like, that 57 channels and nothing's on period, or whatever those, that record was, I was kind of like,
well, that's a pop, you know, songs that we don't have to believe.
Right. But you asked Springsteen.
Yeah.
You
know, I believe him about a third of the time.
I believe him for about half of Born in the USA, for an example. Okay, and it's funny, even the more genuine songs like My Hometown, I don't believe him at all. I don't believe him on Dancing in the Dark. I don't believe him on, I do believe him on I'm on Fire, though, which is my favorite.
Oh, yes.
Fire is
one of my favorite songs of all time. I mean, there's, Soccer Mommy actually just did a cover of it. I would have played it here, but it's not good. So,
okay,
sorry, Soccer Mommy.
Okay.
All right, so my pick was next. All right, so I had picked a different song, but then discovered that factually I was not backed up by my own facts. So I went on out on my own here.
Alternative facts.
Alternative facts. Yeah. Hashtag.
You can rely on those.
Big news. So everyone knows the song I Heard It Through the Grapevine. Everyone's got their own version of it that's sort of a go-to. Did you know that it was not Marvin Gaye who was the first person to record I Heard It Through the Grapevine? It wasn't. So the song was written in 1966. Gladys Knight and the Pips did it on their album Everybody Needs Love in 67. And Marvin Gaye didn't release it until 68. And in fact, it's actually kind of a weird story. I'd forgotten about this. So it was when it was released in 68, it was actually first released by the Miracles. So that was Smokey Robinson's cover. Right. Like, it was first released by Smokey Robinson's, like, I don't want to call them backing band because that's really insulting to the Miracles, who are fucking talented on their own.
Yeah.
So the Miracles released it in early 68, and then Marvin Gaye released it later in 68 on In the Groove. And of course, that was when Berry Gordy, who was one of the founders of Motown, picked it up. He wanted to release it as a single, and it was, you know, top of the charts from December 68 to January 1969. And for a while, it was the biggest hit on Motown's label. I mean, Rolling Stone calls the Marvin Gaye version 81st. It's 81st on the Rolling Stone list of the top 500 greatest songs of all time. And of course, everyone knows Gladys Knight for the Midnight Train to Georgia. Mm-hmm. But I think what
also
I was saying.
Also a cover.
Also a cover, yeah. Too. And what I was thinking of is that what I said earlier stands, is that I think there are some songs that can't be covered, and then I think there are some songs where you could cover it throughout any generation, and it would still have a lot of impact and grit and fun. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to play you a little bit of the original Gladys Knight version. I'm going to do a little medley of some of my favorite versions of I Heard It Through the Grapevine, possibly featuring some music by The Miracles, Marvin Gaye, and The Slits, and probably another version if I think of it. All right. Any other thoughts on I Heard It Through the Grapevine before I put it to
you? Are you going to play the Raisin Bran version?
No.
Oh, I can hear radio sets start to get thrown out of windows.
Everyone's like, oh, we're out of here now. This is too commercial for me. I'm leaving.
Brought to you by Raisin Bran.
Brought to you by Raisin Bran. This show, not sponsored by Raisin Bran. The views and opinions of Radio Bran are not necessarily views and opinions of Radio Free Brooklyn.
Yes, don't throw your radio set out of the window. It will get better.
All right, loves, here's Gladys. This one goes out to John Luca because I'd forgotten about this cover. Coming out in Cosmos Factory, came out in 1970. I'm not playing all 11 minutes of this.
Ooh,
One more for good measure. And my favorite, of course. You know it has to be. And we're back. You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. This is Dave and Giggles. They'll be coming back next week to Dave and Giggle and excite you and scintillate you in all of the ways. And in the meantime, you're stuck with the gossip crew, the gossip squad over here. We're the gossip girls of Radio Free Brooklyn, yes. Collectively. Yes.
Oh, can I be Blake Lively, please?
Yes, you can be our Blake Lively. All right. I think I'm more of a Serena. No, that's Serena.
That is Serena.
I think I'm more of a...
I made an OC reference today on our intranet, and nobody got it.
I got it. I just didn't acknowledge it because I don't like to prove how young I am. It's really just makes me happier if no one knows. Anyway, any thoughts about I Heard It Through the Grapevine? Any covers I missed that you guys particularly like or dislike? I didn't play the Miracles version. Sorry. It is good.
No, I think you pretty much covered the gamut of the good covers of this particular track. Feel free to go ahead and use that desk as a gong.
Oh, that's another song that has a lot of great covers. It's a gong song. The I'm Blue by the originally recorded by
Gong.
You ever heard that song?
I don't
You're
know
good if you know Gong. No. Wow,
I don't know what song.
Oh, it's a classic early '60s hit. Cannot remember who the original version was.
Not the psychedelic band.
The Iquettes. I think the Iquettes were the first person who recorded it.
Okay.
It's a classic, classic. Actually, speaking of Far Reaches of Dub, which was on an hour ago, Millie Small, who's a famous early Jamaican reggae dub artist, covered that. It's actually, I like her version too, but I love the Iquettes version. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's the verdict, Calvin?
What's that?
What's the verdict?
Of my song?
Yes.
It was the original. It was written by Mike Hucknall.
Ah, okay.
So yeah, my cover is Simply Red's "Holding Back the Years" from it was originally by Simply Red from 1985, but a few years ago I came across a version from a jazz singer named Gretchen Parlato. And kind of piggyback on, I think it was Tom who said, like, when a man does a song and then when one gender covers a song, then the opposite gender covers it, it just does the meaning becomes kind of like a complete 180. I kind of really felt this way for that song. Like, you can feel like the emotion in Mike Hucknall's voice when he sings this song, but but Gretchen Parlato's version is like she goes like full on like wispy jazz singer. Like, it's, you don't feel as much of the emotion, but like you do feel the emotion in that song, just kind of like a quiet, reserved emotion.
Yeah.
Which is what I really appreciate about that song. Also kind of how they managed to like really reinterpret it and just kind of strip it down a little bit. Like, even though this version is already like really stripped down, just they found a way to really mellow their version, that version out, and it's, I think it's incredible.
Ah,
I want to hear that version.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll play a little bit more of this and we'll switch out into the cover. Stay tuned. You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. And here we are again. Here you go again. I recently got into Dolly Parton after years of being told that Dolly Parton was stupid and airhead.
Oh, God.
And no. I really wish I could go back to my past self and be like, listen to no one. Dolly Parton is a fucking gem and an American hero.
Yeah, that's another. Absolutely. There's another cover story. I Will Always Love You, which is originally,
yes.
You know, because right. Celine Dion was a cover of Dolly Parton.
Yep.
And you know right. What a badass
I think,
Dolly
but
Parton
I think Dolly's is better.
Oh, God, yeah. No, you don't.
Yeah.
I don't know yes. If I agree with that.
I don't like Celine Dion's voice. Okay. And I say this as someone who trained professionally as a singer. I do not like Celine Dion's voice. I'm okay. So sorry.
Right, Celine Dion did a cover. Absolutely. Celine Dion did a cover?
No, no. It was Whitney Houston.
Whitney Houston. Oh, Whitney Houston.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Celine
I'm sorry.
Dion is My Heart Will Go On.
Right. I'm not sure, but yeah.
Yeah, no, Celine Dion is My Heart Will Go On. It's a Titanic song. Near, far, wherever.
Right. I can hear Radio
I hate that song. I love Whitney Houston. Whitney Houston's voice
Whitney
is
Houston,
perfect.
Whitney Houston, sorry.
Yes, I love you, Whitney.
My
sorry.
Bad.
But I agree with you that
I'm putting bad information out into the world. It's like these fake news.
Fake news.
Fake news. I would have to agree with you, Melissa, that Dolly's version is perfect and holds up fine. And you know what a badass Dolly Parton is? Elvis wanted to cover it.
Yeah.
And wanted to record it.
Which one?
I Will Always Love You.
Oh, really?
And Colonel Tom Parker, who was managing Elvis, says, yes, but I want all the publishing. I want to credit it and we want to keep all the... And she said, no,
nope.
Not. Yeah, mm-hmm. No.
Well,
Dolly was a shrewd business. I mean, fucking Dollywood. She's a shrewd businesswoman, a badass bitch, and I love her. I love you, Dolly Parton.
And she supports her whole community.
Yeah, she does this huge reading and literacy program where she sends books to like picture books to kids. Yeah. She's fucking awesome. All right.
And she's got big tits.
Yeah. Also that. Here on the Big Tits Show every Sunday at 7 here on Radio Free Brooklyn. All right. Any closing out thoughts on Holding Back the Years?
I love that cover version.
Me too.
It's interesting because, I mean, they're both very intimate songs and both internal songs, really. They're almost, they're songs that aren't really sung to someone. They're songs that are sort of sung by the author to him or herself. But the second version is almost, texturally, it's like butterfly wings almost.
Yes.
It's really delicate. It's almost even like not someone speaking to herself. It's almost like someone thinking to herself. It's really super internal, but in a very clever way that's not navel gazing. Yeah, beautiful cover. Thank you.
I love that interpretation. Yeah.
I had to bring the Lush Vibes here.
Yeah, bringing those Lush Vibes.
For real.
All right, so I think we're going to spend this last little segment here talking about some of the covers that didn't make the cut, talking about our feelings about covers in general.
All right.
I've got these three wonderful men here in the studio with me, but I'm in charge. I love this. This is my good feeling. I'm sitting behind the desk. Everyone has to look at me.
Yep.
The way our studio is set up, everyone has to look at me.
Yep.
And I look great today, so I'm really in favor of that. All right. Anyway, so. Okay, so covers that didn't make the list. I thought about doing These Days by Nico, but technically Jackson Browne, who did write the song, recorded it after her. I think it came out for the first time in 1973, and Chelsea Girl came out in 67. So I didn't count it. That being said, if you've ever listened to the Jackson Browne version, you should be very grateful that it is not his, that it, Nico's version is the one that made it. I will not hear disrespect for Nico on this show.
Nope, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Was Nico a technically talented singer? Maybe not. You weren't going to sing her, you weren't going to see her doing a Leontine Price impersonation anywhere. But I think that what Nico was a talented showwoman. And there are tons of men out there who made long careers on having terrible. I mean, for God's sake, it's not like Bob Dylan had an incredible singing voice either.
Well, I mean, this is exactly the thing. Both Dylan and Nico existed within a certain sort of historical context, right? So that Nico today might not have done anything. You know what I mean? But she was as part of the Velvet Underground, as a sort of a face of that whole sort of like almost, sort of, you know, kind of, it really was pre-punk, and it was sort of like this kind of like bored underground sort of like reflecting back at you type of sort of on like sort of cultural ennui.
Yeah. I mean, all tomorrow's parties, right, all that.
Totally. I mean, like then she was perfect for that, but like, would that have worked today? Probably not. And same with Dylan, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like Dylan was a fucking brilliant lyricist and he had huge charisma. Would that have translated in YouTube culture? Who fucking knows?
Who knows?
Know what I mean? Right.
I would say two things. First of all, about Nico, I have to quote what a music journalist said about Nico's voice. Like a cello waking up on a Sunday morning.
I love that. Yeah. That's very good.
No, it is. It's perfect. That's perfect.
That's it.
But who today cares about cellos waking up at Sunday morning? You know what I mean?
Other than us in this room.
Well, right. Exactly. Exactly.
But even think about her contemporaries like Marco Gurian, who did that album in, 1970, I think it came out. I don't remember what it's called, but it's got the song Sunday Morning on it, but not the Velvet Underground's one. It's just another song called Sunday Morning, which is actually a straight bop. But anyway, like, she was someone who was very, very, very pretty. Someone got her to make an album. It was, I think it's great, but it got nowhere. Whereas Nico, you know, back with the Velvet Underground and all that, it gave her the chance to have a solo career. There's that girl, the one who hosts America's Next Top Model, Rita Ora, who was a model that, now the one who hosts it, who is a model who also released music, but her music is terrible. So bad. Okay. Sorry, Rita Ora. But I was thinking about that. Is there someone today who is in the mainstream who is like a very talented songwriter or maybe even a very talented musician who isn't maybe the best singer? I mean, I was thinking, you know, like Steve Martin, for an example, who's a great banjo player, had the Dixie Chicks and a bunch of other like musicians on his albums. Although he does sing on a couple of them too, and they're really cute. He's wonderful. But I'm thinking about that. Is there someone like a Bob Dylan who's a voice lyrically, but not a voice musically, who's really big today.
I have something to say about that, but can we? Is it going to jumble up the conversation if I say my version of what a great singer is as opposed to?
Okay, bring it.
So here's the way I think of a singer, because I might be one of the only people, or one of the very few people, who think that Dylan's a great singer. Because for me, there's two different things. There's having a great voice, Celine Dion, and being a great singer, Levon Helm, John Prine, Billie Holiday, hello. Mm-hmm. Now, none of them had voices particularly. Billie Holiday had no voice, no range, but holy smokes, when she tells you that she loves you, you believe it. And never mind that she's been dead for 90 years.
Sure.
So for me, a good singer doesn't have to have a good voice, or a great singer doesn't have to have a great voice. They have to, it's like a good actor, like I was saying before,
a 3-minute
movie.
No, you know, I don't disagree with
you. You have to believe them. You have to swallow their...
I don't disagree with you. I mean, Highway 61 Revisited is probably my favorite cover to cover, my favorite album, if you ask me.
Oh, yeah. I believe everything he tells me.
It's fucking iconic.
Yeah,
but like, yeah. I mean, I think in terms of someone whose singing isn't, you know, like... I'm not using Celine Dion as an example. I'm sorry. Like Whitney Houston levels of good, but is like has a Whitney Houston level of reach without Whitney Houston's level of voice. The only thing I can think of is maybe Ezra Koenig in Vampire Weekend is the closest I could think of. Really good songwriter, but it's not like Ezra Koenig is, you know, like an incredible singing voice. That's actually the closest I can think of.
Well, you're talking about a voice as opposed to being a singer.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess so.
I mean, I feel like anybody, like nobody who had like the Dylan style of voice could come forward today with that voice. Like, you know what I mean? Like today, everything has got to be like, we got to make you sound like you have a good voice.
Right.
You know
what I mean? Like, everything.
We're not going to just have a Dylan voice raw like it was back then. You know what I mean? And like, and just the fact that he was a good storyteller, an amazing lyricist, you know what I mean? And like, and let that carry it. Like everything now with like fucking auto-tune and just like, we have to produce you to a point where you have to sound like you're a great musician or a great singer.
Yes, but there's also a difference between today and, say, Dylan's time, or even 20 years ago.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that there's a huge difference. Well,
in fairness to Dylan, he is still putting out music. And if you hear this, great Bob Dylan, please, totally, for the love of God, stop putting out music.
No.
Have you heard his recent music?
Yes. It's great.
It's amazing.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
I saw Bob Dylan a couple of years ago.
Gloves come off now.
I love Bob Dylan seriously, more than like life itself.
Nice, but like I saw
Mark Knopfler open for Bob Dylan. Yeah. And Mark Knopfler was terrible, which was disappointing me because I love Mark Knopfler. Yeah. And then Bob Dylan comes out. His first song is Visions of Joanna. I know that song backwards, forward, sideways. Sure. I could tell you the whole chord progression. I could tell you what tuning is done in. Yeah. I did not recognize until 3 minutes in that was a song he was playing.
Oh,
I fell asleep.
Like that.
I fucking love Bob Dylan.
That's great, though.
No, it was like a loud singer jazz cover. But I will say, of course, awesome. Bob Dylan always had a terrible relationship.
That's around Tom's team. Yep.
Oh, bullshit. Okay. No, I'm sorry. Nice, I'm now, sorry, this room of men. But like, if a woman were to do that, it would be different. I'm sorry, but that lounge singer Visions of Joanna was offensive to me.
Well,
and I stand by this. If you're listening, Bob Dylan, call in.
That's offensive to me.
If you're listening, Bob Dylan, call in and defend yourself. 718-928-9732.
First of all, it's his royal bobness of Dylan, number one.
Exactly.
I saw
Bob Dylan.
Y'all trying to Big Lebowski up this shit. I see you like lying on your rugs with a little cassette player that has Bob on it.
Every musician that's ever played with Bob Dylan, actually, even at the very beginning, even 30 or 40 years ago, always said the same thing. They say, yeah, sometimes they'd be about halfway through a song before realizing what song.
Yeah, well, Bob Dylan also, if you read any like biographies of him, it's abundantly clear that he fucking hates performing live. That's why I've been dying to see this Rolling Thunder review thing on YouTube, on Netflix. Is it any good?
I haven't watched it yet. It's on my...
I'm having him on my show.
It's in my stuff.
So guess what? I shouldn't say that yet, because we haven't set a date. But Ratso Sloman, who wrote the book about the Rolling Thunder review, is going to be a guest of Sitting with Jan Luke. He taught on that.
Yes.
Taught and wrote about the biography of that.
If you want to... Joni Mitchell, they talk about it a lot in Joni Mitchell's biography, which I talk about obsessively on my radio show, Trouble Child. Mm. And man, did she hate being there. Oh my God. She was like, I hate all of you. You are also...
Oh, really?
She really hated Joan Baez. Like, she really hated her.
Yeah. I mean, if you've seen Don't Look back. There's like good reason. There's good reason to hate both Joan Baez and Bob Dylan.
Yes,
based on that film.
Look back
on that. Oh my god, it's so hard to watch, right?
I literally watched it with my hands over my eyes the first time I saw it. I was like, no. There's
a wonderful, so it's amazing as the years roll on, you find out just how many people were on that tour. It seemed it just snowballs people.
Oh, the Rolling Thunder tour. Oh, yeah. Well, Sam Shepard even was on that tour.
Yeah, like, Marty Stewart was on it. I mean,
wasn't Sam Shepard on there because he was fucking Joan Baez?
Because he was fucking Bob Dylan also, as far as I know, on that tour.
Because Joni Mitchell talked about it in the book. Everyone should fucking read this biography. It's so good.
But one of the funniest thing. Oh, I like Joni. I have to say I like Joni Mitchell. But anyway,
I love Joni Mitchell. She's a straight up bitch, and I'm.
Let's not go to that conversation right now.
What's his name? Roger McGuinn was on that tour, and I read an interview where he was hysterical. It sums it up perfectly because he goes, oh, the Rolling Thunder tour was wonderful. It was such a party. We were all brothers. We were just hanging out on the bus, like drinking and smoking and playing music and having fun and all brotherhood and all this. And then the interviewer asks, he says, oh, so was Bob Dylan on it too? Like, was he in on the bus? He says, oh, no, he had his own bus behind, like pulling behind us. He was on his own
bus. That's fine, though. Yeah, you know what I mean? Cool. Like, I'm cool with being on the bus in front of Bob's and having my own party, and he's back there.
Writing another masterpiece.
That's I think sounds
better than watching MSNBC every fucking morning from my apartment in my underwear, which is what I do all day, every day.
Into fame and stardom and RFB management.
Oh my god! It's glamorous. My lifestyle. 100%.
Why? I have to wake up for my fucking 9 to 5 tomorrow. It is not glamorous.
Everything is glamorous.
Yeah, I have to wake up for my 11 to 3 tomorrow.
I have to clean the face of my plasma TV, my 29-inch plasma TV. And
I was not afraid for the station and its sanctity, I would throw something at you right now. But I respect the sanctity of the station.
Let's not throw things, please.
I would not.
Thank you.
Just because I host a punk show.
I am the fucking den mother.
Host a punk show does not mean I'm that much of a punk.
Good.
Or at least a throwing things in a studio punk.
Because I totally would have thrown the beer.
I would never have.
When I was your age.
I have never in my life thrown anything at anyone.
I held back when you said you didn't like Dylan.
I threw a beer.
I love Bob Dylan. Oh. That is not what I said. I said I do not love Bob Dylan's recent stuff.
I love the re-releases.
I love they really released a couple of his quote-unquote bootlegs a couple of years ago.
Wait, starting when, Melissa?
Yeah, it's fine. Just call me Melissa. No one ever actually calls me by my DJ name. I put my DJ name in place because at work.
I forgot. I'm sorry.
My DJ name, DJ Defiance, comes from a county in Ohio because I did college radio in Ohio for 4 years and I didn't want to use my real name for some reason. So my co-DJ and I picked counties in Ohio. So she was DJ Cuyahoga and I was DJ Defiance because
Ohio references.
I just kept my DJ name because I work in a professional legal setting and I don't. My boss actually did college radio, but he hosted a new wave show. It's actually adorable. He played me a recording of it once. I was obsessed. Aww. But I don't just in case I, go to law school, join the Supreme Court, whatever. Whatever.
New wave. So new wave. So he played
Blondie, like that kind of the second wave new wave, Blondie.
Did they do
Madness.
Any covers? Oh, they did. But did they do any covers? I'm trying to
Blondie. Think.
Blondie, yeah.
Call Me was a cover.
Oh, that's it was a cover.
Yeah.
And Denise was a cover. Denise was a cover.
Yes, that's right. Yep.
Was Marie Marie a cover by the Blast? No, the Blasters did the original and then someone else covered it later. Les Lobos?
Don't know. Caught me with my pants down.
I love that song.
I'm going to wake up screaming at 5 a.m. tonight.
I do want to preface this by saying I love Bob Dylan very, 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 very much. I'm trying to think of where the cut for me was. I also, in my head, get him confused with when Paul Simon started. Although Paul Simon's newest album...
I love
album
his
the Cool Papa Bell and Wristband, all that, it's actually not bad.
It's okay.
I don't love the new re-releases with the I can't remember the name of the album, but it's a white with like a blue face on it. and they re-released a couple of like things like One Man's Ceiling is Another Man's Floor, and they re-released Renee and Georgette Magritte. And I am there is only one correct version of Renee and Georgette Magritte, and it is the demo.
Okay.
I love demos.
I will argue this until the day if my dad were here, we'd say, because Renee and Georgette Magritte, the original, the recorded version on Hearts and Bones has the, it has the moon, the, it's not the Orioles. It's one of the bands that he lists in the moon glows, the Orioles, the five sentence. One of them is actually the backing band there, but I love the demo that's just him and the guitar. It's one of my favorite songs of all time.
Demos
anyway.
Rule. I don't even know. I've heard certain demos. I have no idea why they even bother to do anything.
Yeah, sometimes. But I mean, have you heard like the Clash, like the Vanilla Tapes?
Yeah, that would be rough.
Well, like the Vanilla Tapes are like, all right, just keep practicing, guys.
But I've heard Van Morrison's demos of just him and an acoustic guitar.
Yeah, sure.
Oh my.
And a lot of the Velvet Underground demos too are like fucking gorgeous. Yeah.
You know where Bob Dylan lost me? Yeah. It was the Christmas album. That's where Bob Dylan lost
me. I think that's cool as hell because that's just...
It's only Tom Waits' Christmas album in my heart.
So here's my theory.
For me, it's only the Mariah Carey.
But here's my theory of Dylan, why he does those albums. And I like the Christmas album and the Sinatra album because for me, Dylan's life... Have you seen The Life of Brian by Monty Python?
Yes, of course. It's one of my favorite movies.
Okay, so for me, Dylan is Brian. Dylan told us years ago, he's just a song and dance man. He's a musician. Leave me alone. I'm playing music. Don't ask. And everyone's like, but you're the prophet, the spokesman of a generation. And he's like saddled with this.
He's like, shut the fuck up. I ripped off all my shit from Woody Guthrie.
Exactly. Leave me alone. Right. I write songs and I do gigs. Leave me alone, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
And there you go. And so I'm going to do a Christmas album. I'm going to do a Victoria's Secret model. Oh, no, you can't. You're the spokesman of a generation. Nah, shut up. I'm a song and dance man. Oh, I love Dylan. Oh, what's coming up?
We got something in the background here.
Yes.
Go on. Really make you mad. Other things just make you swell. Ah, yes.
I'm sorry. I just really love this song. You referenced it. I could not play it.
Yes.
No, good.
We can keep talking. I'm just playing it in the background. Yes, I know. I know.
West.
And...
Only look on the bright side.
This always makes me wish I could whistle, but I can't.
It was both of us.
You've been listening to Radio Free Brooklyn by her. Incidentally, our album is available in the lobby, which is a line you will not get to because we will run out of time before we get to that song. You can listen to us on the go at radiofreebrooklyn.org/iPhone and radiofreebrooklyn.org/Android. And read about us
on
the go.
They're like, I'm on the go. All right.
And read about us at radiofreebrooklyn.org/newsletter. I'd love to thank my lovely guest, Tom Gianluca, and Mr. Calvin.
You're welcome.
It's been very, very fun having you guys here. I will miss you.
Yay!
Although you actually are welcome to stay. I just won't mic you, if that's cool.
Fair.
That's great. This has been great.
We'll do this again. We'll fan you with palm leaves
and feed you grapes. Yeah.
Oh, the dream. Mm. And if you like this, tune in August 9th at 7 p.m., I believe, for our potluck dinner, where it will be three and possibly four if Calvin likes to join us. Oh. Of us talking
we're
about...
Oh, still doing that? I thought this was a
replacement. Wow, harsh. Like, okay. I guess none of them want to see me anymore.
No,
it's fine.
We faded out
with me being rejected.
I totally want to do it. I just thought this was...
Just tell me you had too much fun.
Just